2 weeks ago, we had our clergy conference in Bismarck. We have these conferences twice a year. And it's all the priests in Western North Dakota that get together, in part for fraternity. You know, we're all spread across the state, or western half of the state, so we don't get to see each other all that much. And that, you know, is 100% absolutely as boring as you imagine it would be, without a doubt. But the other thing we also have is it's continuing education. And so somebody different comes in and we learn for a week. We have classes, whether it's something about canon law, something about liturgy, or something about scripture. And 2 weeks ago we had someone come in who is a scripture scholar who he taught the entire week on the book of Revelation, the last great book of the Bible. And that is no small task. But just three things, because we hear from the book of Revelation tonight in the second reading. And three things with that. The first is the book of Revelation is one which is shrouded in mystery. Mystery, everyone, which is not like some crime novel of whodunit. It's a mystery in the sense of you think you see what's going on, but there's something so much deeper that's happening. And everything is symbolic in that way. It goes deeper. And the book of Revelation is what is happening in heaven of what happens here at the Mass, which the mystery of the Mass, as we pray at the beginning of Mass itself, we acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to enter into these great mysteries. That we think we see what's going on, right? And we do see things that are happening. But it's a mystery that we enter into because there's so much more behind everything that is happening within the liturgy of the Mass. All of heaven and all of earth, all of heaven comes down around this altar during the sacrifice of the Eucharist. All the angels, all the saints are present at the sacrifice of every Mass. Think about that. Everywhere that the Mass is celebrated, four times right now within 10-minute drive here in Dickinson, all of heaven comes down upon this altar and around it to worship God. That's what we're entering into. That's a mystery. The second, which we hear from the book of Revelation tonight, is how John speaks of how he saw a new heaven and a new earth. We can think sometimes in our minds that heaven is, you know, that place that's way far off, right? Like in another universe, way far away, up in the clouds. No. It's not simply that. But instead, especially in the Catholic way of understanding it, the new heavens and the new earth is very incarnate. Which means it's not just this spiritual, ethereal thing. We floating off in the clouds with God and in light. It is that, but it's so much more than that in terms of the light, the presence of God. And that the new heavens and the new earth mean that this earth, which is fading away, and this earth which is fallen, God, he creates it anew. That something of eternal life with God is not just some other place. It's not simply just that. But it's the way in which our bodies, which we know, your body, my body, it's fallen and it's going to die and it's going to be put in the ground and it's going to disintegrate into dust. But that very same body, God is going to take and raise up. And it's not a different body. It is my body And your body that will now be glorified, he makes it new. And that's what he does with this earth. There's much that's good about our body. There's much, even though you might deny it, there's much that's beautiful about your body as well. But it ain't nothing compared to the goodness and the glory and the beauty of your glorified body. And this earth, we see little remnants of beauty, of God's fingerprints in it, on it. But it is nothing compared to the new heavens and the new earth that he has prepared for us when he takes this whole creation and he raises it up and he restores it, he transfigures it. A new heavens, a new earth. That's something glorious. It's something which the heart, when it enters into that mystery, and the mind, when it enters into that mystery, they begin to long for. And it's also the importance of beauty and the things that people have done throughout human history to try and bring some of that beauty which is of heaven here before our eyes. It's like the importance, right, of having a place that's beautiful to worship God. This is a beautiful church, because it's trying to capture just a small bit of the beauty of heaven and the beauty of the new heavens and the new earth. Beauty is not just some subjective thing of, oh, it's whatever somebody wants. No, there's something of it that we're trying to seek and that we're longing for. And some things hit the mark better than others. It's the importance of beauty and the importance of the way in which it creates a longing in our souls, which everyone is a longing for heaven. Pope Benedict XVI, he wrote a lot on beauty, and he spoke about how when you encounter real beauty, it wounds the soul, and it also lifts it up. It creates, in other words, a longing in us for heaven, a longing to be with God eternally, to see fully what his new heavens and his new earth will be and is. This longing is in everyone. There's a longing for heaven within you. Can you name it and identify it? Because there's plenty of people who they have that longing, but instead of it being something they can name and identify and have it pointed toward God and eternal life, it becomes a source of frustration and torture within them. Because they're longing for something that's so massive and eternal, and they're trying to fill it with things so small and ridiculous, that it just causes torture and frustration. But it's a longing for heaven. It's a longing for God. That's what it is. And we see just something of this in the mystery of Revelation. It's the new heavens and the new earth. Because God has taken everything and he has made it new. He has resurrected it. Just as he will with our bodies, he will with his heavens